Hi, it's Tony Bruschi from Real Ghost Stories Online, inviting you to subscribe to our other podcast called The Grave Talks. It's where I sit down and interview individuals who've had extreme paranormal situations happen to them in their lives. Just search The Grave Talks on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you download podcasts. Be sure to press subscribe and give us some stars to help spread the word that this show exists. Now, here's a 15-minute preview of The Grave Talks. Today on The Grave Talks, a haunting in Arkansas. In the summer of 1983, Wesley Fox and his family moved into a brand new house in Arkansas. Should have been a perfect setting for this young family to call home and to grow in. Immediately, however, one of the family members has a vivid and disturbing dream of a baby being sacrificed in the attic of the home. Was it just a strange dream caused by the stress of moving in a new environment? This would just be the beginning of the story of a haunting in Arkansas. Shortly after the dream and getting unpacked, the family began to experience dark energy and entities in and around the house. Unexplained and supernatural occurrences happening outside of dreams and in reality, terrorizing the family for many years to come and eventually driving them out of this home.
My family moved into a large house there in Lowell, Arkansas, 8 years old. So many, many moons ago.
Sure.
We moved into the house there in Lowell, Arkansas. We had been living in at the time, you know, for several of the listeners out there that may have watched the episode of A Haunting, they would have shown it was me, my father, mother, and my sister Mary that were just living, you know, moving into this house. That is not totally correct. Now, we were the only ones that, you know, lived in there from beginning to end. Because when we first moved in, my brother Jim, which he was older at the time, I don't know exactly his age, but he's over 21 or right about 21. I think he was probably 20 or 21. But he moved in with us for about 2 weeks. But, you know, we knew as he was moving in that within a couple weeks, he was going to be moving to Arizona with family. So he was only there for, you know, about 2 weeks. And then the episode also had it to where basically Mary and I were the only, you know, siblings from Jesse and Carol Fox. Mm-hmm. Totally, there was six of us all together. I just happened to be the youngest, and Mary was the second youngest. Well, now, we had all been kind of living in a trailer there outside of Lowell just a little bit, and we'd lived there for a couple of years. But it was too cramped because, you know, some of the other siblings sometimes, you know, if things were going bad or something in their own family and they needed a place to live, you know, my mom and dad would never shut their door to anybody when it comes to their kids. Even if we were cramped, you know, we would all stay together. So everyone had a roof on their head. And that's kind of, you know, the way mom and dad was. Mm-hmm. So, but after a little while, you know, and they had an opportunity, you know, they knew they wanted something bigger, to accommodate everybody if needed to at different times. So the house came open and it was rented by the cannery where my dad worked. So my dad had known of the place for, you know, a long time. But the plant manager one day just happened to say, "Hey, Jesse, are you still looking for a bigger house?" Because the house came open, you know, and if you guys are interested in it, you guys can look at it and see what you think. So, you know, mom and dad went and looked at it one day. They loved it. I mean, the house, I couldn't tell you how many square feet it was, but it was just absolutely huge. It was not real sure on how old it was, but gathered, it sounds like it was built in the early 1900s, late 1800s.
So what was the attitude when you first got into the house, when, you know, your parents, you know, thrilled you're going from a smaller place to a bigger place? How are you guys feeling about it as kids?
As kids, I mean, I know I was excited, and so was Mary.
Sure.
Because the layout of the house, I mean, and I'll get into that just a little bit more because it's kind of important. Mm-hmm. The house, when you first walk in, off the main street, you walk into the living room and it's just huge. And then the next room, of course, you got your dining room, which was like the only carpeted room in the house that I can think of. And then there's the kitchen, and of course the back door. You got that back door, and my dad could walk maybe 25 foot. Well, I'll say 50 yards. And then he was right there to where he worked at the cannery. But you go, the kitchen, it almost could be like a circle, because you can circle back around from the kitchen. You go, there's a hallway that you either go upstairs, downstairs to the basement. And there's a beautiful French doors you would walk by going upstairs that would lead back into the living room. So upstairs, you got the master bedroom on the far left. And then right next to it was the master, the main bathroom. And then you had another room, which was either going to be my room, which ended up being my playroom. And then you walk up like 8 stairs or so, and then there's your attic. So big, big place. And then down in the basement, you had one basement room, and then I think another one, and then you had 2 small apartments. Which that's, to me, that's kind of the important part, because those apartments, the original plan was, and this is why Mary was so excited, is that Dad was going to, you know, fix one of those up, and that was going to be her own little area. And, you know, being a teenage girl at the time, you know, like to listen to loud music, stuff like that, you know, so she was excited, because, you know, she can get listen to her music, do whatever she wanted. Sure. But so, you know, moving in, we were all excited. At first, Jim, since he was going to be there for 2 weeks, he was going to stay in the attic. That was going to be his room. You know, of course, master bedroom, mom and dad. The middle room was supposed to be mine. But in that big, scary house at that time, there was no way you were going to catch me sleeping in that room by myself. Hell no.
So, initially, what is frightening you about this house? Is it just because it's big and it's new? Is there anything else that's...
It was big, it was new, and at the time, I was a complete chicken.
Okay.
I really was. But I ended up compromising with mom and dad to where I slept, because that master bedroom was, I mean, it was gigantic. So they slept, you know, in their bed, and I slept in my own little cot against the far wall. And, of course, there was still plenty of room, you know. And then eventually, within a couple of weeks, I was going to, you know, go, you know, kind of work my way into the bedroom. Mm-hmm. But it just never happened that way, because too many things start happening.
Okay.
And then, of course, once things start happening, there was definitely no way you were going to catch me anywhere alone in that house.
So take us to the place where it goes from just new house, you know, kind of curious about it being new, and there's kind of the scary aspect of that, but when it actually transitions and there's something that happens in this house, what's the first thing that happens that is out of the ordinary?
Well, the very first thing that happened, and they didn't really think about it a whole lot at that time, but Mary and Jim, the night before we officially moved in, they took over like a load of stuff, and they ended up staying in the house trying to help get it ready for mom and dad bringing most of the stuff the next morning. Mm-hmm. But Mary that night had horrible, just graphic nightmares to where she was walking in the house, and then she ended up in the attic. And then she, as she's, you know, in the attic, she sees all these people in black robes, except for one of them had a red robe, and they were doing chants and some type of ritual thing. And then all of a sudden she heard a baby crying, and she looked, and this thing was basically sacrificing the baby. And of course it was, you know, very vivid for her, scared the heck out of her. She woke up, and then, you know, she ended up going right back to sleep. And then she was right back into that same dream. But this time she was downstairs, almost like she was trying to catch these babies as they fell, because they, one, you know, send it down this like little slide, and then she was trying to catch it, and it was just like that for the rest of the night. So she finally woke up and stayed up the rest of the night. We didn't think anything about it at that time, other than just really weird dream.
Sure.
The next morning, after we get, you know, me and mom and dad come over, we get kind of get things situated a little bit, you know, after moving's done, I decide to go out on my bike and just kind of explore my new neighborhood, basically. So I rode my bike, you know, across railroad tracks into the little area, which at the time was a trailer park, and I still think there's a few trailers over there. But some kids were sitting outside. They said, "Hey, are you new?" I said, "Well, yeah. Where do you live at?" And I was able to point, and you could see the house where we were at. I said, "I live right there." Those kids looked at me and said, "That house is haunted." "No, it's not. You guys are just kids. You're crazy." There ain't no such thing as ghosts, was what I told him. Mm-hmm. And so that would be like the first inkling that possibly something's wrong.
Did you?
But at 8 years old, you know, I'm thinking kids are being kids, you know.
Sure. Did the kids have any stories as to why it was haunted or what the ghost legend is of the house at that time before you had any experiences happen?
There was one kid, and I ended up becoming pretty good friends with him. He said, and I don't remember exactly if he told me right then and there or just a little bit later, but he said he had went into that house, and he was probably 2 years older than I was. So he's probably 10, maybe 11. But he said just a couple months before, he snuck into the house at night and on like a little dare from some of the other kids. And like I said, the way the house is set up, you can go through one door in the living room and walk all the way through the house, and the back door would be back by the kitchen. He said that he, you know, no one was living there. He snuck in one door, and as he's walking through, he sees like this huge blue ball. Mm-hmm. And what some people today would call like an orb, but it really wasn't an orb. It was just like a huge blue ball. He said it come from the French doors as he was walking in. So, of course, he picked up his pace and tried to hurry up and go out the back door. In the back door, he said he could not get it to budge. It was locked. He just could not get it open no matter what he did. So, finally, he's able to run back through the front door, and he was able to get out. He said that just terrified the heck out of him.
That would lead a child to say that this house is haunted. Certainly.
Right.
Yeah.
And you know, the rumors even before he went in there, of course, was that was the neighborhood haunted house. Mm-hmm. So that's why he was doing, you know, the dare.
Sure.
So that just kind of confirmed for him. But the funny part is, you know, him and I became really good friends within like a week. And then his mom needed someone to babysit him. And of course, there was my sister, Mary. So Mary ended up babysitting him in that house.
Oh, wow.
The funny part. It wasn't so funny then, but it is now.
Sure. So you hear this story, these rumors at your house that you just moved into, that you already have some fears about, is haunted. What happens after that?
Like things going on?
Yeah,
or
like what were some of the first occurrences for you personally or your family beyond the dream? Because I know the dream was kind of the precursor, but what were some of the first things that physically went on in the home that made everyone go,
there's one more incident that kind of took place that, at the time, wasn't nothing, but it became something a lot later on. It would have been like when that first, not the first day we moved in, but the very next day, we had a family barbecue. And we were all sitting out there in the front, you know, barbecuing. And a car stopped by. And they asked my dad, "Are you the man of the house?" My dad said, "Yes." And my dad walked over to him. The guy leaned over, whispered something in his ear, and then drove off really fast. And my mom asked my dad, "What did he say?" And dad said, "Oh, it's just a bunch of crazy locals." And they left it at that. We get towards the end of the story when we found out, and then I'll tell the listeners what was said to my dad.
Okay.
But that night, you know, dad, you know, mom and dad go to bed. I'm in bed. Mary's staying up watching a movie. You know, she's sitting on the couch there in the living room. And during a commercial, she gets up and gets her like a glass of tea. Something like that. When she comes back, she's seen that the French doors, you know, by where she was sitting at, was opened up a little bit. You know, probably like 6 inches, you know, nothing major. So she shuts them, and she sets back down. Well, next commercial, she gets up, goes into the kitchen, she comes back, and the doors are open about 6 inches again. So she's like, okay. That was just kind of making her think, okay, what's going on? So this time, you know, she sits down, and she's kind of watching the doors out of the corner of her eye. You know, trying to watch her movie, but now at this point she can't even concentrate because she's worried about those doors. And all of a sudden the door handles start jiggling. And then within a few moments the doors burst open. So of course Mary, you know, she gets scared and she runs out those doors and runs upstairs up into what was going to be my playroom. She got in there because she was scared for a minute. Not knowing that. Yeah, I guess you kind of assume, but me and my mom at the time was, you kept her awake or anything. She's pretty grouchy because, you know, she had to get up like at, I want to say at 3 a.m. to be out the door by 4:30 or something like that. But, you know, Mary, as she ran in there and jumped and hid underneath the covers, she hears her door open, so it kind of scares her a minute, but then it's just Mom. And she was, "Now, Mary, you know I have to get up early in the morning, and why do you keep on running up and down the stairs and keeping me awake? You left the TV on and everything else." You know, she's angry saying this to her. So Mary felt like she was going to walk down the green mile because Mom made her walk down the stairs and turn off the TV. And so Mary, you know, she walked down the stairs, turned the TV, and then kind of ran up the stairs again just as softly as possible, not so she wouldn't get in trouble again.
I hope you enjoyed your 15-minute preview of our new podcast, The Grave Talks. Be sure to subscribe to it on Apple Podcasts or wherever you download podcasts to not miss any episode of the show. New episodes every single Monday. Just search for The Grave Talks and then press subscribe. Give us a review while you're at it and some stars that will help us grow in the rankings and let other folks know that the show exists to make an even better show for you. The Grave Talks. Check it out at thegravetalks.com.